Sprint cars, super late models, thunder cars, modifies, World of Outlaws, Arcas, it's all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, famed short tracks.
All the way to the high banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
here's your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
All righty then, shovels down, everybody. Everybody put your shovels down here in Canada. It's time to talk some racing. Let's warm up, everybody. Good evening and welcome to Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight. Have we got an outstanding lineup for you. The next 2 hours, you're really going to have a good time. I surely believe it. If you're a race fan, we're going to touch on a little bit of everything that you're going to enjoy. I am Joe Chisholm here in the Racetime Radio studio, along with the co-host of Race Time. We got Joe Jr. What's happening there, kiddo?
Hey, just poking around, man. It's winter.
Yeah, is it ever.
Golly.
Yeah.
We've got some major snow over the past 24 hours.
Yeah.
Well, really, the past 4 days.
4 days.
We've been getting hit pretty hard.
Yeah. Well,
we got a solid, like, 3 feet outside.
Yeah.
Three and a half.
I don't think it's that high yet.
I think so.
Snowbanks are definitely.
Oh, the snowbanks are
out
definitely.
In the middle. I don't know. Now we'd be kicking the good stuff out too.
The groomers are out. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
The groomers are moving some snow, and the snowmobile trails are all open for the OSFC.
Yeah. Up this way.
Yes.
Things are looking good. And how about Daytona? 24 hours of Daytona. In
yes.
the books. We cool. are officially underway down south.
Yep. And, you know, this is the first year that I didn't watch the start of it.
Yeah. You missed it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But congratulations. Big congratulations, obviously, goes out to the Wayne Taylor bunch. So untouchable down there. But Fernando Alonso and you know, Jordan Taylor and that whole bunch, just massive congratulations to them. And Mother Nature seemed to finish it off for them.
Yeah. Sure. I've never seen it end like that. I can tell you that. It's got to be history-making. But let me tell you who we got on the show tonight. It is going to be a real busy 2 hours, and I'm excited to say we added a guest right at the beginning of the show. New Smyrna Speedway, if you enjoy short track racing and you've never been to the World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing, I'm telling you what, you're missing out, and tonight you're going to find out why. We are going to be joined by Ryan. We got Ryan Stevens going to join us. He is the announcer at New Smyrna Speedway. He is actually up on the hotline ready to go, and we're going to get to him in just 2 seconds here. I want to tell you, we got Joe Wells, the competition director for the ARCA presented by Menard Series, of course, getting ready to kick it off at Daytona on the big oval side of things. We're going to check in with Joe Wells. It's our yearly discussion with Joe. Then we're going to come back into the province of Ontario. We'll catch up with the Iron Man, Gary Elliott. He has got, believe it or not, another schedule ready to go. Gary is not retiring like David. Gary is going full tilt into 2019, and we're going to catch up with the Iron Man tonight and find out all the plans on where you can expect to see Gary Elliott in that Quaker State 36 this coming summer. We'll also make it out to Edmonton, a driver that has been wheeling the modified out there. Sam Motorsports is the team that he's with. We got Derek Giffen is going to join us on the show tonight. And we're going to talk Osweken, the Big O. We've got big plans coming up at Osweken this year. Tony Stewart making it back to the Big O along with a whole host of other drivers. Christopher Bell's going to be in there. You're going to see Rico back at the Big O for the Summer Nationals. But that is just touching the surface of what's happening at Osweken. And tonight, Clinton Jeffries is going to join us and fill in all those blanks and answer all the questions. So we're looking forward to this full 2 hours. And Junior, let's kick it all off right now. Let's welcome in, how about the announcer from New Smyrna Speedway? We got him. Ryan, what's going on tonight? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very well. How are you guys tonight?
Fantastic. Did the rain quit down there in Florida finally?
No, it's still raining. As a matter of fact, I just got home from a staff meeting at the racetrack about Speed Week, and it was pouring the whole time, and it's still raining. I don't, but you know what? Let it rain now. Let it get done with so we can have a good Speed Week like we did last year.
I hear every word you're saying, brother, and that's what it takes, right? We get little rainy areas and stuff like that, but down in Florida, if you don't like the weather, you just wait a couple of minutes. It'll change.
Normally, today's been one of those washout of a days, but, you know, we get those in the winter sometimes. So we're hoping, let us do it now. It's got, like, you know, a couple days to get it all out of the way so we can go racing.
It's a free car wash, right?
Pretty much, yeah. I can use one for sure. So I'm getting one.
Hey, Ryan, one big thing. We've got, you know, we've always got tons of Canadian involvement. Going to make the trip down south to the World Series. Looking through the entry blank that you guys have on newsamernaspeedway.org, it doesn't seem to disappoint again. We've got lots of Canadian involvement making the trip south of the border. Touch base a little bit about the Canadian contingent that you have seen on the entry list.
Well, one of our most recent entries in the Super Late models was actually Martin LaTulip. He just registered a day or two ago, and I was glad to see him back on the list because he's been kind of a regular during Speed Week the last couple of years, but we missed him last year. We didn't have him at the Governor's Cup either, so definitely looking forward to having the 84 car back with us this year. And another big one is Andy Jay, I believe, coming down in the tour mods. So, you know, we definitely have the Canadians that are coming down. That's one of the fun things about Speed Weeks is we get people from all over the place, so all up and down the East Coast, all the way out west. So, but yeah, I definitely know. Definitely think Martin's going to be one to watch in the super late models, and I think there's a good host of others that are coming down too.
Absolutely. Just going to read through the list just briefly. We've got Jerry Artuso, kind of a staple in Florida Southern modifieds and super late models. He's entered in the super late models and then as well in the sportsman division, which is exciting news. We've also got, just scrolling down through the list here, we've got Griffin Dowler making the trip out from Sherwood Park. I believe it's Noel Dowler's brother.
Yeah, it's
from the NASCAR Pinty Series.
That was a new name for me. That's kind of the fun thing for me is I get all these new names and all these new people I have to learn about before we get going. So.
Absolutely. We've also got Austin McDonald, a longtime competitor, Rolly McDonald, his grandson, teamed up with Cassius Clark in the 13 King Racing entry in the super late model division, and then as well Nicholas Noggle from Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. Nicholas has been making some waves down there, you know, making the trip down to the Snowflake Derby, multiple races at Hickory Motor Speedway, and then as well the World Series last season. Nicholas is making a return entry.
Quite the impression on the pit road with Ricky Brooks last year. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember it.
Sure do. Man, you know what? It is going to be exciting, to say the least, when you mix in all the different competitors that show up for Speed Weeks. Now, I've been doing Speed Weeks for 21 years. Unfortunately, I can't be there this year, but I can count on Fans Choice, correct? Is it going to run again this year?
Yes, they are. Speed 51 will be down there with Fans Choice TV. They'll be putting all the races on live. So, and that's what's so fun is if you're not able to make it to the track, you're stuck up north where it's snowy and there's nothing to do, you can hop online at 7:30 every night. Every night except the K&N night. Of course, that's a big NASCAR division. But all the other nights will be broadcast live, free of charge, so you can tune in. I mean, there's nothing else going on right now, so you might as well tune in and watch all the great racing. And I got to tell you, Speed Week last year, it was great, but with the entries we've been having that have been coming in and after today's meeting, everybody is so pumped up because we think this year is going to be bigger and better than it's been in a long time. Things are really coming together at New Smyrna. We've all been working hard. Of course, we have Rusty Marcus, general manager. We have some new people on our team, some new energetic folks that are really putting forth a lot of effort, and the improvements are really starting to show through, and Speed Weeks is going to be great. We've had a lot of positive talk. People that were at Cordell for Speed Fest this weekend were excited about coming back for Speed Weeks. I think it's going to be a lot bigger than it was last year.
That's cool. And that's what you want, right? Every year it's got to have one of those twists. And this one sounds like it's going to be an epic World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing at New Smyrna Speedway. We have Ryan Stevens with us. He is the guy on the mic at New Smyrna. So when you get down to the racetrack, Ryan's the guy you're going to be tuning into and listening to throughout the course of the night. Beautiful facility. Robert Hart always said to me, Joe, the beer is always colder at New Smyrna Speedway. And you know what? The guy's been dead on every time.
Absolutely. And you know, that's the thing. We're all going to be there for 10 days. It's a long, long week of speed weeks. And it is a treacherous racetrack. It is intimidating for a lot of people. So it's, I like to call it the super speedway of short track racing, because it really does have that feel. And, you know, with a long week, it's hard on equipment, but the real warriors, the real champions, are the ones that shine through during the World Series.
One big thing that stands out as well, you know, looking down through the entry list, the amount of tour-type modifieds that have pre-registered have you guys absolutely excited. The past couple of years, it seems like the tour-type modified division, you know, kind of it slid a little bit on the car count side, but looking at what you've got today, man, you guys have a stacked lineup of tour-type modifieds.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look at Ryan Preece. We got a full-time cup driver who's going to be there. Matt Hirschman's back, Chuck Hospital, Patrick Emmerling. I mean, if you look at the entry list on newsmarterspeedway.org, I mean, there are so many heavy hitters. And it's the only chance we get to see those Northern Modified all year on the high bank. So it makes it really, really special. And to see how it's grown, because when I first started going to Speed Week, just a couple of years ago, there'd maybe be 13, maybe 15 on some of the bigger nights. But now we got them. I mean, last year we started 30 cars one night, and we're going to be, if not there, very close to 30 again this year, at least to start. So it's great to see the work, you know, Ricky Brooks has put in to bring the rules closer together so more people could compete. It's going to make that division a ton of fun.
Yeah, and when you talk keeping things squared up, and it's a monumental task to try and fit all these divisions from across North America, really, to try and fit them all on the track in their respective divisions and have them competitive, it doesn't get any better than having Ricky Brooks there to make sure that the field is squared up. He does a tremendous job with tech and keeping things where it is competitive, and that's kind of cool. The surprise part of New Smyrna Speedway has always been a really good attraction for me as well. You never know who you're going to see at New Smyrna Speedway on a given night. The Cup guys are all in town, and they love racing, and we've seen them all out there.
Yeah, I mean, Monday through Wednesday, there's nothing going on at the big track, so a lot of those guys will come down kind of incognito. Sometimes we don't even know they're there, but they'll come down, the Cup guys, and we'll have a lot of racers throughout the week that didn't pre-enter. If you look at the entry list and say, well, why are there only 12 cars in this division? A lot of people don't pre-enter, and we're going to have people that are running just a couple nights during the week, so cars are going to be coming in and out. Cars are going to be having to go home for crash damage. More are going to come later in the week. And that's what makes it so fun, because like you said, you never know who you're going to see kind of on both sides of the grandstand.
Absolutely. It's going to be wild. How's it looking for camping? Some fan information here. Can fans just show up if they got their motorhome and they roll into town? Can they just come to the racetrack and get a spot? Or is it a good idea to pre-register?
We do have camping on site. It is primitive camping. It is first come, first serve as far as camping goes. But we have a big camping lot out there. So, and people camping, they're going to be coming in and out as well. So if you do show up, we'll definitely do what we can to get you in the lot. It's only $20 a night. I mean, you can't really beat that. I know it's primitive, so, you know, you might have to rough it a little bit, but that's kind of what Speed Weeks is all about. But, you know, we do have the camping. It's going to save you a lot as far as getting a hotel in this area, especially during Speed Week. And like I said, we do have a pretty big lot, and we haven't had problems in the past getting people in, so it shouldn't be a problem this year either. We're going to have somebody on site kind of helping with camper parking and getting everybody set up. So, like I said, we just had a staff meeting today to make sure everybody's on the right page, and we have somebody dedicated this year to handling the camping. But like I said, if you just come to the racetrack with your camper and show up, we'll get you in there, we'll get you taken care of right there on the premises. Just a short walk to the grandstand.
Yeah, it is. It's beautiful, actually. You won't believe your eyes if you've never been to New Smyrna Speedway, located just outside Daytona Beach. You're really close to New Smyrna to get out for a night of short track racing that'll blow your mind. This is the year to show up at New Smyrna Speedway. How about weekly passes for fans that are going to be in the area? Good idea to probably pick up one of those passes that'll get you in every night and save you a couple bucks, right?
Yeah, I believe that we are working to have a weekly pass. One of our office managers, Holly, would be in charge of that. If anyone is looking for a weekly pass, go ahead and either call the track office or shoot us a message on our Facebook page, and we'll get you in touch, and we'll get you taken care of as far as that. Because, you know, Speed Weeks, it is a bigger event, so the tickets do get kind of pricey, but you definitely get your money's worth. Because I got to tell you guys, the cars that we have running, whatever kind of racing you like, it's going to be there, pretty much the dirt cars, obviously. But, I mean, we got everything from the K&N, the NASCAR K&N series. We have sprint cars coming down. We're going to have sportsmen, the tour modifieds, of course, open wheel modifieds, super and pro late models. And our local classes are getting into the mix on the weekends this year, which is something new. We're actually going to have them run points races for Speed Week, so our local guys will get a chance to shine too. So you're going to get to see all kinds of racing. Of course, you can check the full schedule on our Facebook page or newsmyrnaspeedway.org, and you can pick the nights you want to come. Hopefully it'll come to online nights, but if you want to see what's running each night, you can check out the schedule there.
Yeah, fantastic. I know everybody's pumped for Speed Weeks 2019, and I tell you, it's got to include a night at New Smyrna Speedway. We really appreciate your time tonight, Ryan. Sure, really appreciate it. And wish you luck on the Speed Weeks. Wish we could be with you, but know that we will be tuned in to absolutely every lap on fanschoice.tv, and you can bet we'll be down there in full force in 2020. We'll be down there. We will have representation. Tracy Hoskins is going to be our reporter that we're going to be sending to New Smyrna. So we will have representation. I want you to know that we're thinking of you down there, and good luck with the full week. Tell Robert we said hello.
Absolutely, and have your representative come say hey. We'll make sure she's taken care of, and appreciate what you guys do, and hope you enjoy the World Series, and hope to see a lot of your listeners there as well.
You want to believe it. Thanks so much, Ryan.
Thank you. Have a good rest of the show, guys.
You betcha. Excellent stuff. Can't wait for New Smyrna, Joe. It's one of those ones that I know neither one of us want to miss, but this year we're kind of in the position where we got to stay exactly where we are.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, looking at Speed Weeks, you know, there's so many great memories that we talk about on the show religiously. You know, it's a season of racing in 10 nights consecutively,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, for the competitors, it's a massive undertaking. The fans know that. And then as well, the teams put in such an effort to go out there and get that trophy at the end of the night and at the end of the week as well. Just an incredible event. If you are a short track fan and you have not experienced Speed Week, you have to go. And it is something that you know, is the pilgrimage. When you walk in there, the craziest part is you'll know people that are there.
Oh, yeah. And absolutely.
You know, there hasn't been a time where I've walked into New Smyrna Speedway and not known tons of people,
yep.
You know, you know, from the local track here in Sauble Beach to the local track in anywhere in the United States or Canada. There's going to be people in the garage area or, you know, the outside pit area or the grandstand that you know. And that's the coolest part about it. You're thousands of miles away from home here in Ontario, but you run into tons of people that you know. And that's kind of the cool part about Speed Week.
You want to see how you stack up as a racer and you haven't experienced Speed Weeks yet? Trust me. You want to find out how you're doing. You want to set that bar? You go down there and you you come away from New Smyrna with good finishes, maybe even a win, which isn't unheard of. We have seen Canadians go down there and do lots of winning. But you want to see how you stack up? You be at that gate and you check it out. You try and do 9 nights of racing. I'll tell you what, you'll be in your glory and you'll race against absolutely the best hardware that you can race against in North America. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, conversation switches to ARCA with the competition director, Joe Wells, on the other side.
I'm John Roberts. You're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win!
Wow. It's unfiltered 24-7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Hey,
hear rare interviews and performances.
Oh, USA.
Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home great, away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Here's what you missed on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL Game Day on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio.
Sirius XM 91.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
It's Racetime Radio.
You're a troublemaker. You're a troublemaker. You ain't nothing but a troublemaker, girl.
You have me hooked again.
And welcome back to Racetime Radio. Our next guest isn't a troublemaker. He's actually looking for the troublemakers when it comes time for the ARCA presented by Menards. Of course, they're getting ready to kick off all the action at Daytona International Speedway from an oval track side of things. And I'm pleased to welcome in for our yearly conversation. ARCA Competition Director, he's probably even changed that title by now, but that's what we'll call him tonight. Joe Wells from ARCA is with us. Joe, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, and thank you. That's probably one of the nicest things I've been called in a little while.
I well imagine. Test went pretty good at Daytona, by all accounts. From what we've seen up here, looked like it was a good test at Daytona once again.
It was very good. Great weather, so we were fortunate with that. Had two solid days of testing. Nobody was complaining about lack of track time, so everything went well. I think people learned a lot, and going home and trying to make some changes and see what happens there, and we'll find out what they did or didn't do right in about a week and a half. So
nobody calls you anything bad at the test. The real test is coming up here in a little bit.
Well, it was a test, so they were warming up, so
that's right.
It's all good.
Joe, you got your work cut out for you, man. With ARCA, it is there's a lot of crafty veterans in ARCA, and we see them year after year, but we do see a comfortable mix of guys that are coming up, and they're coming through the ranks, and Daytona is, man, it's the start of the year. It's daunting. It's a 2.5-mile super speedway that everybody knows and loves. But you got to try and fit everybody in, and it's kind of your job as the guy at the top to watch these guys in practice and try and decipher whether they're going to be good enough for the race. That's got to be a hard task.
It can be at times. It's there's always a challenge there, and you know, you just got to take the names off the sides of the cars and the numbers off the sides of the cars and just see how they perform and whether they do the right things or not, and have conversations if they don't, and go from there. It's there's some heritage that's going to be there this year with Harrison Burton and Todd Gilland you know, both their fathers have been involved in racing, you know, forever. And so, you know, just because it's a name, it doesn't necessarily mean they have the talent, but you certainly know they know the right things to do and so forth. And so far, they haven't disappointed. You know, and then you have the people around the fringes that don't have all the horsepower behind them, and you have to look at them and gauge from there. So far, so good.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, too, right? Even if they haven't got the speed, as long as they have the ability to think quick on their feet and know that they're not the fastest guy, they're there for the experience and to make sure that they are in the right place at the right time and not the wrong place at the right time.
Exactly, exactly. It's, you know, when people are talking about coming down to the test to be approved and all, it's, you got to tell them, it's not about seeing if you can set a new track record. It's about all about car control, how you handle yourself on the racetrack. So it's, you know, speed is relative, but it's more than just the speed on the track. So, you know, we look at a number of things through the course of the test.
Big news a year ago. NASCAR came in and actually purchased ARCA from Ron Dreger, and it's starting a brand new page, if you will, now that NASCAR owns ARCA. How has it been from an internal standpoint? It's got to probably be welcome news for you guys to know that, you know, the guys that you were, I don't know, not really competing with in NASCAR, but definitely you want people to show up to ARCA races. What's it been like from the inside, Joe?
Well, actually, it's been, you know, because we've had such a great relationship with NASCAR throughout the years, it's been really quite seamless. The only changes that we've seen at this point in time is more in the HR department and who's signing our paycheck. At this point in time, it's still business as usual. We're out booking shows and talking to people about coming and racing with us, and when I say us, it's we're all one big family. You know, we understand what our position is in the industry, and we're all good with all of that. And there's a lot that NASCAR is going to be able to do to help the ARCA brand, which isn't going to go away. It's going to stay. The ARCA brand is going to stay around for years to come. So. There's a lot of good that's happening there. Like I said, they're going to be able to do a lot of good for us, and I think that even though we're a small company compared to NASCAR, I think there's a lot of things that we do that they can take a few hints from us to help their business as well.
I guarantee that is true. Man, the history of ARCA alone, you guys have been in business a long time. You've put a proven product on the racetrack for years and a diversified product. When you look at the ARCA presented by Menard schedule, it goes for everything from a super speedway at Daytona and kicking the season off, like it's going to happen here in a week and a half, right down to a dirt track level. You guys have done it all, and you continue to do it all, and you do it successfully with a lot of race teams. It's not like you hit the middle of the season or the end part of the season and you're scrambling for cars because you only got 10 or 12 of them. You guys always seem to have good full fields of cars, and I know it's hard to do that because people do run out of money. But with ARCA, the whole situation that you guys have created as a group has been phenomenal. I think it would be a huge mistake if NASCAR ever took the word ARCA out of the equation. I think it would be a mistake.
Yeah, well, thank you, and you know, I can't say that I disagree with you. It's you know, we're proud of what we've done with you know, who we've done it with. It's not like we have dozens of full-time employees doing the work. We're like I said, we're a small company, and people may be surprised at times at what our true full-time workforce is, but. Everybody there has a passion for the sport and a passion for the people that continue to compete in this sport. And it's just something that we all truly believe in and don't want to see it go away. So you know, the desire is still there, and you know, it's, I always say it's really not a job, because when I start waking up in the morning to say I got to go to my job, I'm going to quit, because it's something that I've enjoyed doing for probably more years than I want to admit. But
careful, you're going to age yourself, buddy. And when you do it, you're going to age me at the same time, so leave it alone.
Hey, I'm still young over here, boys. I'm still young over here. You guys are the ones with snow on the roof. Hey, Joe, talk to us a little bit about the return of Five Flag Speedway. That's definitely an exciting event. I know a lot of people that I've been talking to are definitely excited about that. You know, seeing the ARCA cars on that speedway, that was definitely a welcome announcement.
Oh, absolutely. It's everybody we've talked to within the series can't wait to go there and compete. You know, it's been a long time since we've been there and raced, and you know, of course, the history that Five Flag Speedway has with the Snowball Derby. You know, you can't deny that's one of the biggest late model stock car races in the country, and just being able to go there and be a part of the track's history for the schedule, it's big. There's just a lot of people that can't wait to get there. So if it was there this weekend, we'd have a ton of cars there, people ready to compete. So all
yeah,
good.
Pretty amazing place, Five Flags, and when you look at the ARCA schedule, Junior, what a schedule. They've done it again.
Yeah, definitely. You know, when you look at the historical value, I look at the Cup Series, and I look at the races that have historical value, whether it be in late model or the Cup Series or anywhere. Really, you guys go to some of the coolest, most character-filled racetracks. Obviously, you go to dirt tracks and you go to super speedways and you go to short tracks. But when you look at the short track lineup that you guys have, really, you can't get much more historical than Five Flag Speedway, the Nashville Fairgrounds, and Salem. Really, when you put those three together, the amount of history on the asphalt of those three tracks alone is just incredible and astounding, really. And the quality of race, you know, if watching a Salem race is anything like what we're going to see out of the you know, Five Flags Speedway race, or really the past Nashville races, they've been off the charts. And I don't expect anything different out of that Five Flags race. You know, when you look at the tire fall off that is created, and you know, a lot of the competitors will have had a ton of laps there through going to the Derby and through practicing to get up to the Derby. I that is a race that I have circled. I will be sitting on the couch and I will be watching that race on MAV TV.
Great. Yeah, it's you know, the schedule that we have from year to year, it's we're really proud of. Like you said, the heritage of some of the older venues. It's that's what really has made the sport of short track racing, and it's something that we just don't ever want to lose. It's you know, I can't say enough of good things about short track races. I like the speedways and so forth, but at the end of the day, the short track racing is really where it's at. It's where it all started, and it just can't beat a good short track race.
If you're just tuned into Race Time Radio, you've missed a little bit here, but we're going to get you caught up. We are with Joe Wells, Competition Director for the ARCA presented by Menards Series. Of course, getting ready to get everybody fired up for 2019, because it's ARCA that kicks off the season at Daytona from an oval track perspective. Things are going to get underway with the Lucas Oil 200. I do believe it's still the Lucas Oil 200 coming up at
correct.
Daytona. Joe, I ask you this on our yearly conversation just outside Daytona and getting things fired up. And each year, you've nailed it. What are we going to see this year in the race as a drafting race, as a super speedway race? We always seem to find some years we've had it where it's been nose to tail, and guys are afraid to pass or afraid to pull out. other years. You know, they get side by side, and we got a whole gaggle of them going across the line at one time. We've seen the range, the gambit, if you will, of all the different configurations, and I know you guys work hard to make sure the competition has the race fans on their feet. What do you anticipate we're going to see this year at Daytona?
Well, I think you're going to see more of the same. One of the things that we've done a little bit different for this year is we used to have unlimited overtimes, if you will. And it was quite painful, unfortunately, I hate to say it, last year, where we ran 12 extra laps and probably close to an hour and a half trying to finish the race.
And about $1 million worth of bent stuff.
Yeah.
Well, then there's that.
Yeah.
And so we just took a step back and said, you know, we like to be consistent on our rules from race to race, whether it's Daytona or Toledo or wherever we're racing. However, we've got to do something different for the restricted plate track. So we did make a change, and we made an announcement. Of course, we talked to all of our car owners, and overall, they said thank you. And even though it might bite them in the backside, they appreciate what we're doing. Is we're limiting the number of overtime starts to the point where once the leader of the event takes the white flag, the next flag will end the race, whether it's the checkered or the yellow. It's just it comes down to dollars and cents and safety and trying to be responsible for everybody. You know, you refer back to it is Daytona, it is the Mecca of stock car racing, and everybody wants to get the trophy, whether it's in the ARCA series or one of the three NASCAR series or the IMSA series that just got done running earlier this afternoon. Everybody wants that trophy, and so even though they know what they're doing, they sometimes lose their mind a little bit, if you will, and don't focus properly. And so we just got to help the drivers and help the car owners save a little bit of money.
Joe, I think saving money is definitely, you know, kind of on the forefront of any racing conversation that we have here on Racetime Radio, and really any industry conversation. But you guys have kind of been on the forefront of that. And if I would have asked you 10 years ago, would you see the ARCA series having a composite body and a spec motor that is affordable? Would you have seen that coming 10 years ago? And is it something that you you would have to be proud of? Because it's definitely exciting to see the potential with what the spec platform that you guys have created.
Well, we're certainly proud of that whole program. You know, believe it or not, 10 years ago is when we started talking about what we can do in the engine portion of this business to try and help our teams save some money. Because unfortunately, that whole program has evolved away from what it first started out to be in. We're very proud of it. The program started in 2015, and besides us, our partners in the program, Ilmor Engineering, has been quite surprised at the how well it's gone, to be quite honest with you. And at the end of the day, it's just saved so many of our teams a lot of money. And there'd be teams that weren't here today if it wasn't for the fact that that motor wasn't introduced, because they were just spending themselves to death. So here you got a good piece that's reliable, powerful, and affordable.
Yeah,
which is hard to say in the sport of auto racing.
Yeah, real, real tough and real hard to contain, especially when the teams are out there trying to do all the ingenuity they can to try and move their program ahead. They're always looking for advantages. I know Junior and I talk about it all the time. And it's a comfortable balance. It's very, very hard to do to keep those guys on the up and up. And yet at the same time, try and save them some money. It just those two things don't always work out, but you guys have been doing it fantastic. Joe, I got to ask you, lots of talk about the future with ARCA, with NASCAR, and merging the Can-Am series with the ARCA series. What's that process been like? Have you guys, obviously you had already started into discussions on how you're going to do it, but for a little sneak peek, what do you think we're going to see as race fans? Is it going to be more ARCA than it is K&N, or do you think it's truly going to be a blend of the two?
Well, we really hope that it's going to be a blend of the two. We've done a lot of mapping out of here's how we see all three groups going forward in 2020, with both the K&N East and West having 6 to 8 events on their schedule and having a championship. In turn, 10 of our events, which at this point in time are short track events, will set a rules package together to combine the ARCA cars as we know them today and the K&N cars to where they're fairly equal or as equal as we can get to compete for a championship in the short track world, as well as we'll still have our Super Speedway Championship and an overall championship. So if all the scheduling goes correctly, like we hope it can, you could have someone running 4 or 5 different championships between the three groups. So we'll see how the schedule works out and go from there.
I'd eat my left foot if somebody won all 5 of those.
I don't know. If Frank Kimmel was still racing, he'd be going after all 5. You
all
can guarantee
5,
it.
Man, that would be an accomplishment in itself, wouldn't it? That would be
without a doubt.
That would be
without
wild.
Joe, the Lucas Oil 200 comes up at Daytona. It's truly going to be another spectacle. You guys do an amazing job, and I really wish Junior and I could be with you this year, but a little more healing up to do. But in 2020, my friend, you and I are going to share a Pepsi on that infield like we do each and every time. We're going to do that again. Do me a
Perfect.
Favor. See Doug Barnes when you see him in the garage area there working on all these tires for these guys. Will you do me a favor? Go over and say hi to him.
I will definitely do that.
You do that. Fantastic. Joe, you have a great speed week. So I know we look forward to catching up with the winner of the Lucas Oil 200 on Racetime Radio as we try and do each and every time the checkers fly in ARCA. We love getting the winners on. Good luck in the race. I know it's going to be excellent. And, man, oh, man, 2019 is right here.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much.
You bet. You have a great night. Safe travels.
You bet. Thank you.
You bet. That's Joe Wells, competition director for the ARCA presented by Menard Series, Junior.
Yeah, definitely. And he touched on, you know, some of the notable names that are going to be, you know, down there again for Speed Weeks for the ARCA 200. You know, some of the names that jump off the page to me, obviously the Todd Gillens of the world, Cody Rohrbaugh. You know, you've got the staples with guys like Brett Holmes and Riley Herbst and Harrison Burton, Michael Self, Travis Bradens, you know, the names, Natalie Decker, and those names go on and on. And you know, looking at the test lineup, there was a bunch of names, you know, like Jason White from here in Canada,
right?
Going to be taking part in the number 11 car with the Hillenburg bunch. You know, Andy Sues, and you know, you've got Thad Moffitt, of course, with his RPM, you know, Sean Corr involvement. So just an awesome lineup, and a guy that I'm really excited to watch again in the ARCA series, a guy that's had a lot of success, and a buddy of mine, of course, Brandon McReynolds, is going to be back behind the wheel at Daytona.
Oh, is he?
Going to be driving the KBR development team car down
that.
There. So
yep.
That's something that to definitely look forward to. He's obviously had a ton of success in the super speedway side of ARCA racing, you know, at Talladega and then as well at Daytona. But the list goes on and on of who to watch. And I think, you know, once we get down there to Daytona and see the actual the nuts and bolts after qualifying, you're going to see a really different picture than what you've seen in the last 2 years.
Well, it is 10 days, 20 hours, 29 minutes and 9 seconds now before the Lucas Oil 200. So depending on when you're listening, that count will be off because it's already gone past that, and we move even closer to that race. You don't want to miss it at Daytona International Speedway. The kickoff to 2019 on the oval track cannot wait. We're going to hit this break. When we come back, the Iron Man, Gary Elliott, is suited up, and he's going to join us.
Hey, race fans, this is Justin Allison. You're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Canada Talks.
The NFL is on SiriusXM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the SiriusXM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and SiriusXM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Here's what you missed on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL Game Day on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Sirius XM 91.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win.
It's unfiltered 24/7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Racetime Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you closer.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
And we're back
with more Racetime Radio.
See, that's what happens when you slide away and you don't get back in right on time. But we are back. Good evening, everybody, and thanks so much for tuning in to Racetime Radio. I'm Joe Chisholm along with Junior, and yeah, we are continuing on. We're going to get right back to the hotline. We're going to bring in one of those drivers that has been a staple in Ontario and Canadian racing for, how about this, 50 years. That's right, 50 years we've been watching Gary Elliott in that number 36 car fly around all these different racetracks coast to coast, and he's with us now on the hotline. Gary, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing very good, Joel. Thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, we much appreciate your time and jumping on here with us. It sounds like, Gary, you're going to go full tilt once again in 2019. You got a busy schedule all planned up.
Well, I do. I'm going to run the full OSCAR Modified Series, and they do have some conflicting dates with Flamborough Speedway for the late model, so I'm not going to be able to make all the late model races at Flamborough. And so I'm going to try to, right now I have 21 races booked, which is probably going to be pretty close, but the big thing is I got one, I'm going to be going to Eastbound in Newfoundland. I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, right on. So you're going to get out of the province, too. You're going to get a chance. People out in Newfoundland are going to get a chance to see the Ironman. That's cool.
I'm really excited about it. I've been dealing with been talking to a couple of people. I haven't had a chance yet to talk to the track owner, but I've talked to Carl Tracy and Philip Fowler, who I guess races there.
Oh, yes, Phil Fowler, a cornerstone out there.
Oh, my goodness. Both of them have been so good to me. Like, I can't believe it, how things are coming together. I wanted to go last year, and I couldn't really do it. It was going to be pretty hard to take my own car, but they're going to gear me up with a car down there, and Carl has really opened up his heart and his to me to be able to come down and get transportation. He's going to pick me up at the airport. There's just and then I have family down there, so that I haven't seen for years, that are in Newfoundland. That they're some of my cousins, and I'm going to be able to see them as well. So it's just fantastic. I'm just so excited about it.
Gary, this is tremendous news. I'll tell you, the fans, you're going to love it at Eastbound International Speedway. It's a beautiful place, full of great people. The race fans are dynamite. And I'll tell you what, the teams that you'll be out there racing against, believe me when I say these guys get after it, you won't believe your eyes. It doesn't matter whether it's a heat race or practice. Those guys are they're all wired to win. They're all going for it. But it is truly going to be amazing. How many starts is the stats at now, Gary? Give us the rundown on it, because I know it's an impressive list.
Well, thank you very much. And you know what? I've been blessed. I have good health, and I'm still healthy. I'm still looking forward to I haven't got any horizon when I'm going to retire. I have an idea what I'd like to do, but so right now I don't know when I'm going to quit, and that might not be good idea for anybody that's trying to chase my stats. So they probably say, would he quit so we can set a target to go after? So as of at the end of last year, I have a total of 1,260 nights that I've raced since 1969. I have 817 in a row since June 5th, 1987. I have 259 total wins, including 40 feature wins. I'm glad I made that milestone. I didn't know if I would be able to get that. But I won the feature last year at Sauble, and man, I was so excited about that.
Yeah, I guess
so. When they interviewed me, you'd think I was 15 years old. Like, I was just so pumped. I mean, because they have a lot of really good racers on the modifieds, and a lot of the good ones were there that night. Not everybody makes it every week, but there were some really good ones running that night, and I was so excited to win. And I've always seemed to do well at Sauble, even since you owned it. I ran well there, and I've got 40 different tracks I've raced at and 41 seasons of 100%. So, and then, of course, the big thing, probably the biggest, I don't even know which one's the biggest, but Quaker State's with me for two more years at least, and that'll take us to 47 years with Quaker State, which is unbelievable.
Oh, I mean, no just, kidding. No pressure, Gary. You got to keep racing. We're going to sponsor you for 2 years, not just one.
Well, can you imagine if they, that's right, they gave me a three-year contract last year. They called me in October, and they said, we're going to give you a three-year contract. So I started laughing, not to be arrogant, but they said, what are you laughing at? I said, well, I guess I finally passed my probation period, because I had been given every year. It was 1 year at a time. Now I get 3 years. So if they give me 3 years at the end of 2020, but they'll let me know way before that. But then if they gave me one three-year more deal to take us to 50 years with a corporate sponsor, that would – my goodness, I think you'd have to go to another galaxy far away to find somebody sponsored. Well, Richard Petty's been sponsored, but with SCP since 2 years before me, but not as a driver. He
right.
retired in 1992. But so for that little stat, driver, corporate sponsor, I got them pretty well beat.
Yeah.
You know, because
I wouldn't think there's anybody that I know of that's out there that can top that.
No, it's pretty good, and I'm really thankful that I have it. And you know what the thing is? You have to love the sport. You couldn't stay in this long without me. And I surprised myself at how much I still love it. Obviously, you know, the older you get, my wrists have got 25 million miles on them, or laps. So, you know, that's the only thing is that. But I'm still okay. I can still strum a guitar, so I can steer a race car. And I'm really thankful that I can do that. And I've had many, many, you know, pit crew members and friends and other competitors, track owners and fans that have made this journey just I love it. It's just so good. And when I go to Newfoundland, man, oh, man, that's going to be the highlight for next year for sure.
Absolutely. That will definitely be exciting, Gary. It's a racetrack that, you know, once you see it, you're gonna take a step back and say, wow, I'm going to need to become acclimated to this very quickly because it's very different, you know, on the surface side. But I'm looking forward to hearing your interview the week after that because it's going to be it's definitely going to be eye-opening for you. A great bunch of people out there. But, Gary, one thing that I wanted to touch on, we had a really interesting conversation last week with Corey Horner. Of course, last week with Corey Horner, of course, the champion in the Oscar Modifieds. And obviously a lot less laps than you, but he did come out of the late model ranks and then step into the modified ranks. And he had a really interesting take on you know, the differences between his late model program and the Oscar modified program. Obviously, you have got lots of laps in different vehicles, but talk to us a little bit about your passion for the Oscar modifieds, because you do seem like a 15-year-old kid at the racetrack around those modifieds, and you've got a passion and a fire in your belly to go out there and get performance, but it seems like you're having a lot of fun driving it as well.
You know what? You hit it right on the head, 100%. I ran the hobby cars for 33 years. I ran Volkswagen for 3 years, got into the hobby car for 33. And my last, you know, 10 years in the hobby car was really good. I really did well in racing the coupes. And then when I went to late model, I wanted to go to race with my son. So it was a whole different deal. It was a lot bigger. You couldn't see as good. So you had to learn how to drive and get close to the wall and not bash it every time you come off the corner. Well, when I seen it modified, my favorite car, race car, and I, this is the truth, my favorite race car since I've been racing has always been a Troyer modified. I think they are the most awesome looking race car on the planet. I just think you go back, it doesn't matter, them big slicks and those wild bodies that they have, and even the new, you know, the Whelen modified Troyers are just incredible. I just love them. So when one day I seen a fellow at Flamborough with a modified, and I said, are you allowed to run them bodies? Because I was used to the older style, the all-pro modifieds, which I wasn't a big fan of them. They look kind of like a late model with the fenders off them. He said, no, we can run those. So I said, well, that'll be where I'll be going next. So I sold my hobby car, and when I bought the modified, wow, I couldn't believe it. Like, that's just like being home for me. When I'm in that car, it's the most exciting and comfortable and natural place for me to be. I don't even care about open wheels. I've ran full body cars now for 15 years, and it'll be 2005 till 2019, so it'll be 15 years. Yeah, 15 years I'll be running open wheel modified or full body cars, but there's no comparison for me. Like even my fans, they say to me, man, we see the difference between you and the late model and the modified. It's just that I'm really almost, and this is kind of weird, but I feel like I'm part of the car. Like, it's just,
yeah,
with
the
late
you.
Model, I'm kind of lost in it because it's so big. It's like, it's almost like it's got a washroom in the back or something. Like, it just seems so big compared to a modified. And yet, they're not really that much difference in terms of the steering wheel and the interior, but you can see so much more in the modified, and it's so fast. It's like, they're not faster than a late model, but they seem it.
It feels totally
different.
It is.
Yeah. They react quick. And when I'm in that car.
Gary, can I hold you just for a moment?
Yeah.
I need you to stick around here. We do have to throw it back to Toronto for a quick news thing. It takes like 90 seconds, and then we're coming back for hour two. Can I get you just to hang on the line here for a minute?
Absolutely.
And then we'll rejoin with Gary Elliott here in just a moment. Stay with us, everybody. We'll send it back to Toronto, and we'll be back with you for hour two. Hang tight.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on, come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Stick a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up.
Jimmy Johnson's flowing, the race leader off too!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
With the two Joes
here on Racetime Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour number two begins tonight live on Racetime Radio. If you're tuned in on Sirius XM channel 167, hello to you, or maybe XFM out in Antigonish, Nova Scotia, or Gearhead Country Radio, or oh, whatever way you're listening. Welcome aboard the Performance Motorsport Network.com, or maybe you're listening on iTunes and downloaded the program absolutely free. I sure hope you hit the subscribe button when you did that. But welcome aboard. We are with the Iron Man, Gary Elliott. He stuck around to the second hour with us. Gary, going to be a busy summer. You've laid out the plans. You're going to be in both a late model and a modified. Just running one class isn't good enough for you. You got to run two. What's that?
Well, it's because years ago we used to run 20, 25 nights on the hobby car. We used to book the vintage modifieds. We used to book 30 races a year, and after rainouts, we'd still have 20 to 30. And when I look back at my, you know, the dates, the nights that I ran back in the 70s and 80s, we ran 30 to 35 nights. And I was good with that. I loved that. I looked forward to that. That's the only reason I didn't want a race car that I could race six times. I wouldn't even be able to spend any time. I wouldn't be pumped up. I couldn't get excited. So then over the last few years, I guess some guys or tracks or whatever complained about racing too many nights. So a lot of touring divisions have reduced their schedule from 25 to a dozen nights, which is okay, I guess. I mean, it's not okay for me, but it's okay. I got to stop beating them up because they only want to run a dozen times. But that's why I got to have a second car. Like, Flamborough started cutting back late models to, like, I think this year we have 10 nights, not including the APC race. So if I ran just a late model, I'd have, you know, I'm told by, you know, my family, they love me, and they say, well, Dad, then you have all them weekends off. I said, I don't want them off. Yeah. I got them off between October and April. So I want to race. And so when the weather's good, you know, I mean, Saturday night comes and if there's no race, I don't feel normal. So I got about 21 races booked right now. I might try to squeeze in a couple more. But the big one is going to be obviously in the Maritimes. And I'm still maybe possibly want to go to Petty if I can get I got two weekends off back to back at the end of June, but the end Maritime Pro Stock Tour schedule's not out yet. Once it gets out, I might be able to pick one race to go there. And I would prefer to go to a track I've never raced at before. I can't make the IWK 250 because it's on the same night that we're running at Sunset Speedway in the modified.
Right.
And I started thinking, oh, could I make it? What if I flew out of, you know, Pearson Airport at midnight? You know, could I get there? No, you know what? Forget it. I would have forgotten my race car when I got there.
Yeah.
So it just won't work. But that's the reason why I have two cars, because I can still get myself enough nights to race. And it's not because I'm trying to just race nights. It's because I want to race. I would lose interest if I only raced a dozen times. I honestly think I would anyway. I just, maybe when I get older, I might say, hey, you know what? I might come back to a dozen nights. But while I'm still young, I want to keep racing as much as I can.
Well, you won't be racing after they shut the lid, right? You won't be racing at all. It'll be the last thing that you'll ever do. So you might as well race while those eyes are still openable. And I can well imagine, now that I say this, you're probably even going to have a Quaker State logo on the box when they send you upstairs.
Well, you know what? The thing is, here's the deal. When I leave this body, I'm going to heaven, and I'm pretty sure the creator that created what we have down here probably says, oh, my goodness, you haven't seen our race track up here? I said, no, but I know there's enough references in the Bible about racing, so you got to have the best. Oh, yes, Gary, we've already got your car.
That's right.
So I'm not worried about that. I've been really blessed with good health, and I love my family, and I love my racing family, and I think it's important to put into your sport, you know, it's like a buffet. You just don't want to take it all for you. You want to put back. So you need to be able to put back in your sport. You got to do stuff to help help everybody. You know what I mean? Like you got to, and whatever, go around to different drivers and encourage them and see if you can help them. I take every single spare part I have, so in case somebody needs it. And what I was saying before about the late model, about a washroom in the back, I should have said I was comparing it to an RV, like racing an RV compared to the modified. It's so much bigger. Now, I really do like racing the late model. I shouldn't be negative towards it, but when I'm in the modified, I'm at home. And so that's the deal Oscar has to work. Oscar can't say, if they go through their club and say, okay, how many races do you want to race, Gary? I said 20, okay, and everybody else wants to race 10. So they settle at 12.
That's right.
So I got to take the 12 and then fill it up with late model. But there'll be a time when, you know, if I ran the Maritime Pro Stock Tour, every race is like, you know, 150 to 300 laps or 200 laps, then probably 10 nights will be enough. But
oh, yeah.
I may end up my career in Nova Scotia running that series. Possible, and when I retire, my last year.
Absolutely.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That's definitely exciting stuff. Gary, one thing that I wanted to touch on, you work relatively closely with a local guy here to the Owen Sound area, Jason Legg. Of course, he is a guy that absolutely lives for Legends cars now. Has he talked you into strapping yourself into a Legends car yet? Have you done that?
Well, actually, him and I are talking now the last few days about doing some things with switching parts or trading parts. We talk quite often. I'm insured through him, so like through his insurance company, I go through him, and we're good friends. He was really a huge help to me in 2015. So Jason's a great guy, and he hasn't said that to me, but I mean, I would consider that for sure. If I had a few nights off, I'd love to get in one of them things.
Well, they kind of look like the 36 Quaker State Vintage Modified that you raced in successfully for years. I'm surprised you haven't been in one of them yet.
Well, yeah, you know what? I just have never had the opportunity, and I don't have enough room in my garage for cars. I got a late model of Modified, and then I got a late model show car. So, and I keep it in a grad, so I'm glad they don't talk, because if they talk, they say, hey, I've been with you for 25 years and I'm in a garage, or I'm in a trailer, how come I'm stuck in a trailer?
Yeah, so, how come he hasn't raced me, right?
Yeah, exactly, you know, just now I'm a show car. I put you at the stud, you're going to be a show car now, I didn't scrap you or didn't sell you, I kept you. That's the same late model I've had since I started 2005, so it's now a show car.
Yeah,
I ran that thing until 2017. I remember I had a guy look at it, and I said, what would you recommend that I do to my car to help it keep up? And he opened the hood, and he closed it right away, and he said, come and see me.
Yeah, you need some parts under there.
I'm glad they don't say that about me. Take the helmet off and say, oh, boy, get somebody else in that car.
No way.
We can't find nobody with any more passion.
No, I guarantee you won't. Gary, it's still winter. We still have snow. But I know you've been extremely busy putting these cars together that you're going to race this year. But there's no doubt we got Motorama coming at us in Toronto coming up in March. Are we going to see any of your products at Motorama? Are you getting ready for shows, or what do you got lined up?
Yeah, there's going to be an announcement coming very soon, a press release that you'll love. And I've already proofed it and read it and approved it. And there's going to be a few other people approve it as well. But I'm definitely going to be there. And there's some exciting news coming about the Motorama show that I'm happy that I was able to help negotiate that. But it's going to be a big deal. And I'm definitely going to be there with my late model. So we're at the stage right now with my late model that I'm going to have it ready for paint hopefully next week. So, and my modified is all done. It's going to go for lettering February 8th.
So how about the look? Is it going to look the same as we've seen last year?
He's never
are you
had
going to
same,
change it up?
He's never had the same looking car. I don't think you've ever had the same looking car back-to-back years. You always change it up, and it always looks good. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Well, you know what? I think we lost Gary.
Where did he go?
I don't know. Gary, where'd you go? Are you still there? And you know what? Gary Elliott is gone, so I don't know where he ended up there. But I did hear
she'll dial him back.
Yep. I didn't know whether that was Gary gone or not.
He's never had the same looking car, though.
No, he hasn't.
Ever.
He always changes it up a bit.
Yeah.
I think back to some of the different Gary Elliott paint schemes that I can remember, and I'll tell you what, there was nothing that was more pristine than when you look back at his vintage modified days. He had a white number 36 with the Quaker State splashed up the side of the race car. My favorite race car of all time was that car.
I loved that car as well. He had a black Quaker State car towards the end of his career in the vintage mods. It was black and green and gold. And,
yes, I remember
that,
that car.
That car was pristine. I loved that car. Every car that Gary Elliott's ever had has been pristine looking.
Yeah, he's had a real eye for what's going to look good on the racetrack. Under 100%. The lights, in the daylight, a little bit of everything. We do have him back on the hotline. Thanks, Susie. We got you back, Aaron. Man, what did you do? You hit the wrong button or what?
I looked out my bay window, and I guess the coyotes must have bit my wire or something, and then I ended up losing you.
Well, we've only got two more minutes with you, then we got to hit our break. But I'm glad we got you back on the hotline. I was asking you, is the car going to look the same as it did last year, or are you going to change it up like Gary Elliott always does?
Yeah, listen, just one quick thing. I won best appearing car in the modified at the Oscar banquet, and then we won last night with the Flamborough banquet, and we won best appearing car in the late model. That's the first time in my career that I've won best appearing car in two classes. I just was absolutely so pumped. It was just awesome to be able to win best appearing car in two different classes in the same year. So no, I'm going to change them because I just do that. I mean, I'll have Quaker State colors, like some combination of green, gold, and black, but they won't be the same as last year.
Well, Gary, I was just saying, Sue was getting you back on the hotline, my favorite car that ever came out of that 36 shop had to be back in the vintage modified days. I don't know what year it was, but it was the white number 36, the gold lettering. It had the Quaker State logo and the Quaker State colors on the back half of the car. I'll tell you what, it's my favorite all-time looking race car. I don't know whether it was because it was the coupe with the way it looked, but I'll tell you what, that thing looked good in daylight. It looked good under the lights. It even looked good inside the trailer.
Well, we did think about going retro on the late model for sure, 2011, and we thought of...
Do you know what? Gary's gone again. He turned his head again.
Yeah,
he had to have turned.
He needs to stop turning his head.
Yeah, I heard a click. I don't know what happened to him, but he is gone.
You know what? We're going to leave everybody on a cliffhanger here because we're going to jump to the break.
Yes, we are.
And nobody's going to know what the car is going to look like until you get down to Motorama.
Well, and that's probably a good place to leave it. We'll catch up again with the Iron Man another night, another time. But you know what? We got to keep moving because we do have some more guests coming up on the show.
Always a great guest.
Great to hear from Gary Elliott. What a guy. If you've never met Gary Elliott at a track or at the show or whatever, you've seen him but you've never talked to him, please do yourself a favor and go over and talk to Gary. This guy is an incredible person. He's an incredible racer. You hear him with his heart on his sleeve. That isn't a show, fans. That there is the true Gary Elliott. He would do anything for anybody, but he has a passion for this sport like no one else I've met. And he really does a fantastic job. Newfoundland, get ready. If Gary Elliott's coming out there, I'm telling you what, you're really going to enjoy it. You'll see exactly what I mean. But we're going to hit this break. And thanks, Gary. I know you're tuned in. Thanks so much. You're dynamite. We'll get you back on the show. We'll hit this break. And when we come back, we're going to go to Edmonton, Alberta. And we're going to catch up with Derek Giffen next here on Race Time.
This is David Starr, NASCAR Nationwide Series driver, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Discover a place where the sun and the tunes are shining bright.
Dance to the
This is Jimmy Buffett, and whether I'm traveling by land, by sea, or by air, Radio Margaritaville is my soundtrack.
Immerse yourself in a mix of Jimmy's favorite island music, commercial-free rock, reggae, folk, and live concerts to transport you to an instant warm weather vacation.
It's Radio Margaritaville.
Channel 24 and on the Sirius XM app.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hey, baby. Hear rare interviews and performances. Oh, USA. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win! Woo!
It's unfiltered 24-7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane!
You got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Taking you all the way to the track
and back.
It's Race Time Radio.
Sirius XM 167.
Now, here's Joe.
I used to be such a sweet, sweet thing till they got a hold of me. I opened doors for little old ladies.
And welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight. We have got Derek coming up on the show. We're having a little difficulty connecting with him. I know Sue is working on it. Not sure whether it's a phone line issue or what. With Gary Elliott dropping off twice like that, you never know. We are getting some weather here outside the Racetime Radio studio, and it could be playing havoc with our lines. Hopefully it's not. But, yeah, Derek just put through a number. I know, Sue, you will see that. And you can give Derek a buzz, and we'll get him on. But he's got a cool story, Junior.
Yeah, definitely. He's got a great story. But while we're waiting for the Race to Save Lives interview,
yes,
we're going to touch base a little bit about Cordell. I know, right off the top of the show, Ryan mentioned Speed Fest this past weekend.
Yes.
Speed Fest took place. We had Taylor Holdaway. Of course, Canadian from Orillia, Ontario. He made the trek down all the way from Orillia down to Georgia for the Speedfest Pro Late Model race.
Yes.
Qualified 14th, drove his way all the way up to 6th place. It sounded like it was just an absolute demolition derby in the Pro Late Models, but he came out unscathed with a 6th place finish. Really cool story. He got a little bit of a chance to spend time with Kyle Busch down there. They pitted side by side.
Oh, really?
Got a bunch of pointers and definitely lots of help from his Grand American Race Cars partnership with Augie Grill. So I want to say a big congratulations. That's a massive finish in the top, the top 10.
Yeah.
Late Models at Speed Fest. It's definitely a big show.
And didn't qualify all that well, right? So it was a good recovery for Taylor.
And it seems like that's kind of where he's been. That's his sweet spot, is in the race. He's went down to a lot of these big shows, the Jucasa race, and then as well, he was at Speed Fest last year. And then as well, he made the trip down for the Nashville race, the preliminary Pro Late Model race.
Every
single one of those, he's qualified outside the top 20 and drove his way into just outside or inside the top 10 with his finishes. So definitely a racer, not a qualifier. He's
right.
Got to learn the qualifying ropes a little bit, and that'll make it a little easier. But we do have to give out a massive shout out to Connor Okrizek, of course, the winner, 17-year-old winner of the super late model portion.
Yeah.
With Kyle Busch finishing second.
Wow.
And he beat him heads up.
Love it.
Didn't ruffle his fenders, didn't nothing, and ended up driving away with the win. So that's definitely a massive win for Connor and that young lad.
just a big showing for them, beating out the likes of Harrison Burton and Casey Roderick and Stephen Nassy. The list goes on and on.
Watch that, for that him lad, at Speed Weeks, right?
He's the whole package.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Watch for him at Speed Weeks. I bet he'll show up.
I imagine he will.
Yeah. Let's get to the hotline and let's welcome in Derek Giffen. Derek, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Good stuff. Man, you've been a busy cat. You got your modified all ready to go. You got CTV showing up, talking about, the 2019 season and the message that you carry with your race car. It's got to be good to be you right now.
Yeah, things are going great, actually. It's pretty humbling and a little bit overwhelming, the amount of attention I've gotten in the last few weeks and the traction we're getting for 2019 season.
Well, you deserve absolutely every second, my friend. The cars that you've got on your race car and the experience that you share can really go a long way to not only helping people, can change lives, and that is huge. Not everybody can say that with a race car.
No, it takes a lot out of me to do it and share my story. But I know if I can help at least one person, then it's all worth it for me to struggle for a couple of hours to get it out.
You betcha, my friend. Let's talk about that now, because I know it's right up in front of us. So let's get that and discuss the message that you've got with your race car and how you actually share that with everybody.
Okay, well, first I attempted suicide back in 2014 that required major surgery in order to save my life, which took me a long time to recover from that. I relapsed again in 2016, and it wasn't an uncommon trend in my life to be struggling with my mental health. But at that time, I was admitted as a formal mental health patient, and they spent a lot of time teaching me and allowing me an opportunity to understand how to develop some skills to overcome my mental health.
Right.
And the thing that struck with me the most was setting a goal, something that's going to push me in all areas of my life. And for me, that was to race stock cars again. And I eventually got the race car with a lot of help in my life. And ever since then, I've been telling people that it's possible to change their life. Like, where they are today is just a reflection of everything up until that point. But what they do today is a reflection of where they're going, and I hope my message helps people overcome something in their life.
Very, very well said, my friend. And nothing is like having experience and listening to somebody that has been there, done that. And you know what? We're all better here because you were able to do what you've done to bounce back. And to take your message, to take your experience, and really share it with everybody. That's how we all learn day by day and day to day. Everything, life is experience. That's what it is. And you can make the line move with your experience, and you can make it move the right way, and you can make it move the wrong way. And, Derek, what you're telling me is you're able to move it the right way. And one of those major things that really helped you do that was to set goals. And your goal was to get back into a race car. And look at, you're achieving your goals. It's got to feel great.
It really does. It feels amazing. Every time I show up at the racetrack, I always have people coming up to me, not only telling me, what a great job I'm doing, but more importantly, they're telling me their own personal experiences and things they've done to overcome their own struggles or something they might be going through. At that moment, they might ask me for advice even in some cases. So it's extremely humbling, and it's great for everybody that's getting involved with the program.
So last year, you raced with the cause and everything. How'd you make out in 2018? Because it's been a while since we caught up.
Yeah, so 2018, I did all right. I raced the car a bunch, and of course, I donate my purse money to suicide awareness. The cause is Put the Star on Your Car movement, which is a suicide awareness cruise that's done annually. And this year I raised $350, and that goes directly to the cause. And that's solely from me, finishing in last place most cases. But I had a lot of fun with it anyways. A highlight of the season was the Roy Ross Memorial I set the fastest lap during the trophy dash, which was quite humbling for me to do that.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. So the season went along pretty good. Now 2019 is in front of us. What do you got planned for this year?
Well, I maintain my rookie status, even though I've raced modified just enough where I'm able to maintain my rookie status. So the ultimate goal would be to actually make a rookie run, go for the rookie of the year, and hopefully learn a lot of stuff in the process. I do have an opportunity to get into the Pinty series. I just have to jump through a lot of hoops, but I CBRT has given me an opportunity to drive one of their cars for the Luxar 300, which I am still kind of blown away by that opportunity.
Yeah, dynamite. Joey McComb, you can't get a better guy to be with.
No, they're amazing to have stepped up and offered me that.
Yeah, dynamite.
We've got a lot
stuff.
Of work to do and a lot of things to get funded.
Yeah, a lot of work to do, guaranteed to pull off something like that. But that's cool. With Edmonton International Raceway, the NASCAR Pindy Series does show up there, going to show up again in 2019. Always a huge event that night.
Oh, it is. It's the biggest event of the year, that's for sure. The fans love it. Everybody loves it. The atmosphere is just amazing in the whole town of Wetaskiwin. You can really tell that it's something big that happens in that little small town. So it's a really good experience to be part of.
So, Derek, the program that you have going now, you mentioned stars. Is it a star on the car?
It's literally a sticker of a star. There's some that says, you know, the 1-800 Suicide Awareness Cruise. And a lot of the drivers are asking me for the stickers to put on their cars. Most of the drivers at Edmonton International Raceway have the sticker on their car. And as well as a dirt track Drumheller, Dinosaur Downs, they reached out and asked for a whole bunch of the stickers. They hope to have all their cars with that sticker. So it's actually pretty cool. It's July 13th, 2019, this year, is a suicide awareness cruise. At that cruise, I always share my story in depth. They raise a lot of funds for victim services as well. So it's a really good cause.
Awesome stuff. And if anybody wants to know more about the organization, about that, the run, all of that, what's the best place to point fans to find out more information?
More information about the Suicide Awareness Cruise would be the Didsbury Car Club, Alberta. When you're looking them up, there's also a Didsbury in England that has a car club. I'm just going to point that out, that there is two of them. It's the Didsbury Car Club, Alberta. And then, of course, you can... any social media platform, just type in hashtag racing to save lives and you'll find what we're all about and lots of stuff on Sand Motorsports.
Yeah, it'll come up to your site, right?
Correct.
Yeah,
I'm
perfect.
Always promoting everything the car club does.
Well, you
an amazing group of people.
You do a fantastic job with it, and it's going to be an amazing summer. You can feel it. We can hear it in your voice that you're prepared for it. How about crew members? Who have you got helping you out?
I do it alone a lot. There's a few people that help me. They came on board last year. I call them Pops and Pit Road Mom. They've stepped up quite a bit, actually, to help me out last year. But my biggest pit crew is the people I race against. They're my biggest help, and it's amazing how much everybody comes over to help me out when I show up at the racetrack. But I'm pretty much on my own up there.
Well, hard work always pays off. Hey, I got to ask you this. Who is your idol, your cup star, the guy that you look up to in NASCAR? Do you got one?
Well, of course, it's always been Dale Earnhardt, like everybody else. And then, of course, I went to Junior. But my all-time favorites would have to be Junior Johnson. That would be the guy I really idolized and really admired growing up. And still to this day.
Yeah, pretty amazing what that man has done in the sport, right?
Absolutely, and all the adversities he's overcome as well in his life. When you really look at his, you know, biography and all that stuff, he's done it with a smile on his face.
Sure has. How about current drivers? Anybody currently that you watch in NASCAR that every time there's a race on, you got to watch them?
Well, I'm starting to lean a lot towards Kevin Harvick. A lot to do with the Earnhardt fan in me, you know, him taking over the ride way back in the day. But I would say it's
it's the veterans right now, the Kyle Busch, the Harvick. I love that battle that those two get going on.
They're always entertaining on the racetrack when they hit a guarantee.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Do you got a rival on the track out there at Edmonton International Raceway? You got somebody that you're really trying to pass that's a real hard one to get by?
Well, out here there's a races that are a couple generations deep. So there's quite a few of them that they're half my age and, you know, they do laps around me. This year I know I'm going to have quite a challenge with Mike Ram, if he jumps into modified, as well as Cam McTavish. Those two guys are going to be my biggest challenge this summer, that's for sure.
Yeah, competition. Competition's always good. It gets you up for it, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It keeps you on your toes.
Good stuff. Man, it's going to be interesting. Of course, lots of snow flying out your way, too. But what do you do to get prepared for the season? You got any mall shows coming up? Anywhere where fans can, you know, get up close to that modified that we see online right now? Anywhere where fans can get up close and talk to you?
Well, fortunately, my employer lets me keep it parked there at the dealership, which is Edwards Garage, a GM dealership in Rocky Mountain House. But I'm constantly doing different car shows, events, parades, as much as I can. To get our message out there about suicide awareness and mental health awareness. I know in May I'm going to be at the Didsbury Show and Shine. I'll be there with the car. There's going to be a couple more parades. July 13th is the suicide awareness cruise that I'll be at. Prior to the season, I'm definitely going to be hosting a couple of my own events to raise awareness with the cause. So you have to keep up to date on those because we're in the planning stages currently.
Well, fantastic stuff, man. Your timing couldn't be better to be talking about this. Couple days, it's Bell Lutz Talk, right, at the end of the month. And I can well imagine this is going to go a long way to helping people. Everybody's got to realize that today, the way you feel right now today can change. With inside an hour, things can change. But you got to give it time, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. What I found stuck with me the most was understanding your thoughts, behaviors, and your emotions. If you change one of those, the others will follow. Your emotions are typically hard to change. That's how you feel. Your thoughts take a lot of practice to change, but your behavior you can. Like what you're doing right now, you can change that. And I found doing things that I enjoyed, going out to work on the race car or, you know, planning out a new deco package or whatever the case may be, I found it changed my thoughts. I stopped thinking about how I was feeling and started focusing on what I was doing. And quickly, I started to feel better, start setting goals in life and planning out the future, if you will.
Derek, one thing that I want to mention or touch on is the adversity that you face within motorsports. Like a bad night at the racetrack, that's still a good night, right? For a majority of people. And when you look at the positives in motorsports, it's even a greater, grander scale of the top of the mountain. Touch a little bit about the adversities that you face in racing, and as well the benefits that you see in racing. Obviously everybody wants to be, you know, holding the checkered flag and, you know, hoisting the trophy at the end of the night. But the positives for a majority of people in racing come from different things. And obviously the cause is a big thing for you. But talk a little bit about the adversity that you face within motorsports and then as well on the actual track side of things.
Like every other team, the biggest struggle is funding, of course, right? Just showing up at the track can be a challenge sometimes. But I found... one of the biggest things is a learning curve and the fear, if you will, of wrecking the car. Cause I know if I do, I won't be able to replace it relatively quickly. So the greatest challenge for me is I've always found digging deep and going for it. And it's frustrating because I know I have it in me at times, but I don't necessarily show it because I'm afraid to wreck the car or whatever, wreck someone else even worse. And, you know, when things go wrong, things can often go wrong in racing, as you know. It's hard at times to, you know, keep a cool, calm composure. But I've been able to do it, you know, over the last, of course, couple of years by really understanding, you know, it's just to be there. It's all part of the story. The family that I've developed at the track and the relationships that I've developed not only at the track but away from the track. I've kept in touch with, you know, almost all the drivers over the course of the winter, and we don't always just talk about racing. There's a lot more to life as well, and it's done a lot to give me something to look forward to, no matter how frustrating it might be, you know, to have everything go wrong one night. It gives me a lot to look forward to get the car ready again to go the next night. So it's a lot of fun. It's so hard to explain what it actually really does for me.
Well, you get the benefit, and that's key. And I know something right now. I look forward to getting you back on this program and finding out how the process goes when you get strapped in. We got to see some results, man. And I know you're going to have some this year.
I'm pretty confident in it. I can feel it. They invert the field with IMCA modifieds. So I'll be starting up front a lot, which is a lot of opportunities for me to, you know, hold the field off and hopefully get my first win with the car.
Yeah, awesome stuff, man. Set those goals. Set them high because I know you can hit them. But I really appreciate your time. I know we all do. And we awesomely appreciate the story that you share and the cause that's on your race car. I know there isn't anybody that's within earshot of this radio show that's listening to you tonight that won't be thinking about you and probably be contacting you to see how they can help as well. Truly amazing stuff.
I really appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me on and giving me the opportunity to continue spreading awareness for mental health and suicide. And please don't forget, the 30th is Bell Let's Talk Day, so hashtag Let's Talk on any social media platform, and Bell will donate money to suicide awareness.
You're dynamite, Derek. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Derek Giffen, yeah, you can check him out. We laid out all the stuff. Sam's Motorsports. Check that out on Facebook. And what a guy. What a guy. What a story. And, man, it's kind of cool when there's success there.
The amount of community involvement in motorsports is something that always astounds me. You know, when you look at all of the racetracks across Canada and the United States, you know, there's hundreds and hundreds of people that are, you know, racers in each individual little county across Canada and the United States. And when you look at the amount of community involvement, it seems like every track has got, you know, a handful of guys that really take the reins, or girls as well, that really take the reins. And a couple of examples, you know, that just really stand out to me. Obviously, you know, the breast cancer awareness that you see in the NASCAR series with the pink race cars, you know, and the pink walls at certain tracks and things like that.
Right.
But when you look at the amount of involvement at the smaller level, that is something that astounds me even more. You know, you've got a guy at Sauble Speedway named, you know, Marvin Freiberger. For years, he's donated everything, not only just the purse, he's donated all the money that gets stuck on the side of his race car from his sponsors to the Easter Seals.
Yeah.
You know, you've got initiatives like this with Sam Motorsports. You've got anti-bullying campaigns by, you know, a young lady named Kaylee Weiss that,
yeah,
you know, on the East Coast or on the eastern side of Ontario. But the amount of initiatives that get covered off within motorsports to raise awareness, boost the community, you know, to raise money, raise funds, raise whatever, is absolutely amazing. And you know, I hats off to the people that are, and really take anybody that isn't involved in something like that, you know, kind of take the reins and run with it. And really it brings awareness to yourself selfishly, you know, in a good way. You know, it helps you with on the PR side, but it also helps to support a good cause, and it is an amazing initiative, and hats off to them.
What I notice about Derek's story, and what I notice about Derek's racing program,
yes,
it is about a message. That's
100%.
What it is. It's 100% message. He's not looking to raise funds. He's
not looking
to do any
exactly
of that. He is looking to save lives and to share his experience, where he took it right to the edge. And thank God he was able to be pulled back and saved.
Yes.
And now he can go on and shed light on that. It takes an enormous amount of courage to admit when you have a problem. It takes even more courage to admit that you had a problem, and to share that story publicly is really, really tough to do. And to hear Derek and to hear the story and to hear how well he's doing now and to see the future and to take away anything from what he said is set goals and hit those goals. I find it fascinating. I find it amazing. I've lost friends to suicide, and I don't want to lose any more to suicide. Everybody needs to know Derek's story.
Absolutely.
And everybody needs to have a listen to what he says, because I'll tell you what, he talks sense, and he's not talking sense for something that he read. He's talking sense from something that he experienced, and you'll never, ever top that. Dynamite program, and I know we wish him nothing but success, and we'll keep our eye on him here on Race Time. He's a Canadian from Edmonton. Guy's doing a huge job, man. He might as well be all the way across the country.
Yep.
Because the message that he delivers is right spot on.
Get those stars on your car.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I'm going to get one of those stars. I'm going to have them all over the place. Good job, Derek. We're going to hit a break. Final one of the night. When we come back, we're talking this weekend with huge news. We got Clinton Jeffrey. Oh, a guy I love talking to. He's coming up next. Don't you go anywhere. We still got more tonight on Race Time.
Men, Morning Men.
Hi, I'm Evan Cohen, and I'm Mike Babchick. We were given 30 seconds to describe our show, Morning Men, on Mad Dog Sports Radio, so I'll ask you some questions, and you give me the answers. What do we do for fun?
You go to the diner with your family. Me? I drink and forget I have a family.
Biggest crush?
You, Tom Brady.
Me?
Anyone in yoga pants.
What do we want to do more of?
You? Talk about what happened the night before in the world of sports.
Me?
I would like to do more of my wife. I think we just ran out of time.
Morning Men, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Sirius XM 82, and the Sirius XM app.
New to Sirius XM, it's Faction Talk.
Whoa, cut it out.
Lucky us, what a time to be alive.
Mornings with Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
I get tweets every day about how terrible my co-host is, but I don't listen to him.
Absolutely, because I'm the one sending them.
That's Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
Hot takes on hot topics.
That's right, no sloughing off on this radio show.
Live Monday through Friday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, only on Faction Talk. Sirius XM 103. Or listen on demand with the Sirius XM app.
Here's what you missed
on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL Game Day on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Sirius XM 91.
Race Time Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
More Short Track Live, coast to coast, next. Only on Race Time Radio.
What can I do for you?
My name is Elizabeth Cook. I have a show called Apron Strings over in Outlaw Country.
Okay.
Playing a lot of old outlaw country music, cool. A lot of new outlaw country music. Cool. We talk about all kinds of important things, like how to get gum out of the pillowcase.
Shoot, I don't...
Where do Venus flytraps come from? Do you need a chakra cleanse?
A what?
This is your formal invitation to listen to me, Elizabeth Cook, 10 to 2 p.m. weekdays on Outlaw Country. It's channel 60 and streaming on the new and improved Sirius XM app.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
Older than a witch's titty out there, isn't it?
Out in the country, past the city limit sign, where there's...
Okay, I left it in for one more week, just because it's so cold out.
Well, I imagine you're going to leave it in there next week,
no,
too,
I'm
by
not.
The looks of it.
I'm going to change it
if
up.
If you look at the damn forecast for next week, my God.
I know, it's going to get cold, but you want a warm July? You want a warm July, you got to put up with a little bit of cold.
I don't think that warm July has anything to do with this BS weather that we're experiencing right now.
Well, it just makes...
If you're praying for snow, just stop it.
Just stop.
Stop.
Stop. Leave
Take
it alone.
Take a breath, all right?
I'll tell you what. Maybe
I don't care if you bought a $20,000 snowmobile.
This snow and frost will be doing lots to tighten things up on the dirt side of things. It changes the dirt and makes the racing even better when we get... All the snow gone. And to talk more about that, a guy I always look forward to talking with, we got Clinton Jeffries with us from Asquequin Speedway, the big O with huge stuff, always big announcements. But, man, they got another huge one for the Summer Nationals as a as an event. Look out. It just keeps getting bigger and better. Let's welcome him in. Clinton, what's going on, buddy?
Hi, gentlemen. Great to be back on the show.
Yeah, man, you've been you guys have been working hard. I can see it by the schedule and by the stuff you guys keep popping out. It's going to be a busy year again at the Big O.
Yeah, I think to get the Summer Nationals back rolling the way it was is going to be huge. For those who haven't heard yet, we've got Tony Stewart, Christopher Bell, and Rico Abreu coming on Sunday, Monday and Tuesday, July 22nd and 23rd. Tickets will go on sale this coming Friday, February 1st, along with camping reservations as well. And as you all know, we couldn't make a deal with the World of Outlaws, which for 10 years or so was our signature event, along with the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals, to cap off our season. And last time we did it, we had Kyle Larson. It was the biggest event in the history of the Speedway. And, you know, Glenn and I talked, and we really wanted to keep pushing forward instead of just treading water and doing our regular Friday night stuff. And we came up with a bit of a budget, and Boss Man said, let's do it. So we started putting the feelers out to see who we could talk to. We had spoken to our previous guest, Kyle Larson and Casey Kane. Both of them were tied up. Rico was supposed to come and be with us in 2017, but unforeseeable circumstances, he had to pull out of that, deal with his team at the time. And then, of course, Tony Stewart won his first World of Outlaws event there before. And then Christopher Bell, man, this kid's been on fire. Just picked up his third Chili Bowl win. And he's going to be a huge star in NASCAR in the coming years, a real natural talent. So we're excited.
How cool is it you're going to have Tony Stewart back there? I'll tell you what, I was there, seen witness to every night that Tony Stewart has raced at the Big O. I've watched him. And I'll tell you what, amazing. When you put him together with everybody that we've got at Asquequin that runs, it is truly just a wild show.
Well, of course, Tony's a international racing superstar, just an enigma in the sport for sure. And definitely, I look at these events as what I call them as conversion races. And what I mean by that is a lot of people still haven't discovered the wonders of dirt. But they do know, hey, Tony Stewart's going to be at that local dirt track that we don't go to. Maybe we should go check it out. And then I think when a lot of people come out and see Asquequin for the first time, they're really surprised at what they see. And I think the best compliment I could get from one of my best friends, Algis, he's a motorcycle dirt bike guy. And he came out to a race with his son this year, and he said, man, every week it's just like a national event here. And that's probably the best compliment we could get. So if you've not checked us on a regular Friday, check it out. But I think to have these major events, they're big, you know, we turn a lot of heads and get a lot of people to come out. So Tony Stewart's going to draw a lot of folks that we probably haven't seen out to the Big O.
I will second that wholeheartedly. As everybody knows that listens to this show, I'm an asphalt guy. I love asphalt racing. And I was born in it. I just kind of rode all the way through my life up until the point I was 19 years old. And I was just asphalt, you know? And talking about conversion races, I would equate this to every level that Volusia Speedway is during speed weeks, because everybody is in town to see the Daytona 500, and they go up the road because they hear that Tony Stewart or Kenny Wallace or any of those guys are racing at Volusia. And, you know, my experience personally, the first time I ever went to a dirt track, we walked into Volusia County, walked in underneath the causeway, underneath the grandstands, as a 410 sprint car went past my feet and was only about 5 feet away. And I was hooked at that point. And every single time that I've went to Asquequin, it's been the exact same experience. And, I know they're 360 sprints versus 410, but you can't see that from the grandstands. I mean, the amount of speed and power and just class that every single race team has, just an incredible event. And any time that the sprint cars are on the card, I would suggest people to go. But I applaud you on the conversion side of things, because really, to get people out there to see it, once you see one of those sprint cars go by you, the first time, you will be hooked. I can guarantee it. And it makes the hair on my arm stand up. Yeah. There's only a few things like it in motorsports. I would say that, standing, within earshot of an NHRA car, like a Top Fuel Dragster or a Top Fuel Funny Car, whatever the names are, when they hit the loud pedal, that is an experience in motorsports. Seeing the cars go by your feet at Daytona is an experience in motorsports. But the neat part is, anywhere you see a sprint car is an experience the same, and it is incredible. And at a racetrack like Oswego, it takes it to a whole new level as well.
Well, let's just quickly talk about some of the benefits we've got our weekend. Obviously, the track's super wide. Our mini stocks have been known to run 6, 7, sometimes even close to 8 wide, and that's legitimately, the photos are out there on the web. Our basic Friday night package is $14 for adults, so it's super cost effective. And the family entertainment you're going to get is second to none. The other big thing we want to promote is our live stream, and that's also the biggest thing we're using to convert. We could do a whole show just on live stream. Is it helping or hurting attendance? And the original thought was people would just maybe stay home and not pay to come to the races anymore. But I think we're finding that our attendance is up 10%. You look at any major league sport, they all got there through television. The story I like to tell is, if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs in 1952 when the CBC came in and said, hey, we're going to give away every home game for free across the nation on television, they probably said, are you nuts? We'll never sell another ticket. And look where they are today. So I think the biggest thing we hear is a lot of people say, I didn't realize it was there. So we're trying to show it off as best we can. And, Glenn's super supportive of all the plans we're making. And it's a great thing. And car counts are up. I mean, you guys know it. The crate sprints have converted a lot of people over, and it just continues to grow. We expect to have car counts in excess of 40 mini stocks, 40 thunder stocks, 40 crates, and 30 sprint cars for the 360s, and that's weekly. So it just shows you how ebb and flow racing is. 2 years ago, we were down to 14 sprint cars, but sticking with the plan, and we're back up on top again.
Yeah, everything is cyclical, right, Clint? Like, if you wait long enough, things change. But you guys, the way you're doing it, you're making things change. And that's the cool part about it. When there's a dip, you guys work at filling it in and fixing it up. And the proof is there. You can see it. And it sounds like 2019 is going to be another epic year at the Big O. When do things fire off? When do you get ready to go? And are we going to see you at Motorama?
Yeah, we're setting plans together to get together and do something at Motorama, as we always have, especially now that we've signed our big major events, got them back on the card. We'll definitely want to be up promoting them. Our season kicks off. Test and Tune is Friday, May 10th. With our first season opener, we'll have Ken Trader in the house with the UMP Modifieds, along with our other four regular divisions, racing on May 17th. And we go right through the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals, which will end up on September 12th and 13th, Friday and Saturday this year. And, it's exciting to be where we are at Usch Weekend and to keep pushing that envelope any way we can. And it's been super exciting. We have such a great group of supporters that, sponsors and drivers and people just believe in the plan. And I think the biggest thing we've tried to preach to our race is just stay positive. If we're out there tearing it all down on Facebook and social media, it doesn't build anything up. I know you guys have had this discussion a lot, but I really feel like our racers buy into the family aspect. It's a privilege to race at Usch Weekend. And, we all take it seriously. And it's great to be able to hang out in Glenn's backyard.
Absolutely echoed. Love hearing that. Definitely every racetrack promoter needs to take note of that. Just preach. Social media is not a bad thing. You know, social media is a great thing as long as everybody's pulling on the rope in the same direction, right? If everybody's out there bashing their track owner or bashing the people who they race with, it's going to tear everything down. But you can build everything up just as much as quickly as you can tear it down. Definitely echo that.
At my first year as a manager at the end of the banquet, I just told them, if you guys stick with me and keep it positive, it'll pay off. And within that year, we ended up signing, you know, Chevrolet, Coca-Cola, Pinty's, Lucas Oil, a lot of major league corporate sponsors who seen the benefits of being with us at Rush Weekend. So we're super proud of everybody we've got going along with us. And, you know, the other thing is, you know, social media, I think it's a product of how the management deals with the race teams too. The biggest thing you do is just shut the door on them and tell them, well, that's the decision we made, take it or leave it, you don't like it, don't come back. And in my 30 years of racing, I've heard that so much from promoters who just, I don't know whether they're lazy or frustrated, but the saying we like to use is, you may not like how we got to the decision, but we'll always take as much time as it takes to explain to you how we got there, you know. And there's always a thought and a, you know, a process behind every decision. We don't just throw it out there because we want to. And I think it's where sometimes the racers don't get the proper communication back to explain where things went on, and that's an issue. But I don't know how much time we got, guys, but one thing I do want to get out there is the other thing we are super proud of on the dirt tracks is the Ontario Dirt Competition Committee that we started this year. We've got now five tracks running the same rules for mini stocks and street stocks, and I know the pavement world is looking at what we've got going on, and even in the States, they're kind of envious. So formerly South Bucks is now Southern Ontario Motor Speedway. Brighton Speedway, Merrittville Speedway, Humberstone, and Oshawa Speedways have all banded together. We now have a committee that agrees on rules for both thunder stocks and mini stocks, and we're just seeing it blossom across the province. And I'm so proud of that. We can all work together and cooperate and build a division that's going to be province-wide shortly.
Yeah, you got to love that. When everybody works together, it really makes a difference. Sounds like you guys are getting your poop in a group and doing that. That's the part and the beautiful part of dirt racing that we've always echoed on the radio show. With dirt car and the dirt situation, you don't have the same problems as you do on asphalt, where you've got all these different islands in asphalt and everybody wants a cookie that is their flavor. We didn't see that in dirt. Obviously, it must have started sliding that way for you guys to create this, but it's a real positive.
Well, what it was, Joe, is, you know, I look at one of our racers, and I've been using him as our example, Jim Lantman. He's got multiple cars that race at Friday, Saturday, and Sunday tracks. Well, if he has a question, who does he go to? Does he go to the tech inspector at each one of those tracks? And if he follows that bit of homework, he's probably going to get three answers. He's going to take the answer he likes or suits his budget or agenda the best. And then he'll play the other ones against us. This isn't just Jim. This is any racer in general. Now we have a submission portal on the website where you go to. We have regular conference calls where we can decide on the rules for everybody across the way. And now I think it comes down to, it's not the rules that's going to make you an Oshawa racer or a Merrittville racer. It's how we treat our racers. And you know, the rules are the same across the board. And I think the other big benefit to that is if you're someone trying to test the waters of maybe dirt, street stocks, or mini stocks, you don't have a major pool of cars to buy from. If you don't like it, you can get out and you have a whole major pool of people to sell your car back to. You're
right.
Not selling an Oshawa car or a Buxton car or you know, a Brighton car. You're now selling an Ontario dirt mini stock that can be raced at any one of those five tracks.
Yeah, not a boat anchor, right?
No, and I think the big thing is now we're looking for progressive ideas. And the other thing we told these drivers is, yes, you may have to give and take a little bit, you know. But the other thing we did on the Thunderstock side, we're not quite there with the minis because it's changing so much, but the Thunderstocks, we agreed to a four-year rule package.
Yeah.
So now anybody who's forced to change this year to accommodate what's coming, they now know they can race it for 3 or 4 years without having to change. So if you got to change your $100 shocks, well, it's not a major problem if you know you're going to get to race them for 3 years.
Clint, I hate to interrupt you, but we are right at the top of the hour. We're going to throw it back. But this has been great catching up with you, man.
I could talk to you guys for hours, man. Call me anytime.
We will
until this Friday. We'd love to see everybody there in July.
We will get you back on. I guarantee it. And we'll book more time for sure. Clinton Jeffrey, thanks a million, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Have a great night.
You betcha. Clinton Jeffrey, Big O. Sounds like we got lots coming out of Junior.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
We have got to fly. That's the end of the show. Got to thank Susie here in the Racetime Radio studio and, of course, everybody back in Toronto. But that does it for us. Tune in next week. We got another full lineup coming at you that you will not believe. Have a good week, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.